Absolutely amazing job. Well, today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. Go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word, Philippians chapter 1. It's an important passage that we're going to be talking about. We continue our study in the idea of salvation. And just kind of helping us understand, be a little bit better informed about this process that's happening inside of us. That's what we're talking about today. But the idea that we talked about in the last several weeks, just to remind you if you weren't here, also to bring you kind of up to speed. The first week we kind of did an overview and talked about this idea of conversion, this idea of which there's a way that we live in life. We're going about our own way, trying to please ourselves. We're being righteous in our own eyes. That's called self-righteousness. And so we're just kind of going along, just kind of doing the best we can to live the life that we can. And then all of a sudden we hear about this Jesus. We hear about this relationship with God that has been separated because of the sin, the selfishness, the self-centeredness that's present in my life. And so when I hear about this, there's a response that takes place. I don't want to be separated from God. And so immediately I repent of my sins. That word repentance is a big word that means basically to turn away from your sin, to recognize that you have a sin problem and to turn away from that sin, to forsake that sin, to leave that sin behind and turn and then walk toward Jesus, live for Jesus. And that's called faith. And so this idea of conversion is made up of a two-part process, but it's not a process. It happens continuously. It happens right now. At the same moment that you realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and instead of walking in sin, you forsake sin and walk toward Christ. Last week we talked about what happens at the moment of conversion. What happens, this idea of justification, this idea that as we begin our relationship with God, we come to this relationship, we're all sitting behind a defendant's table. Right, we're in a courtroom, God's the judge, and we're all behind a defendant's table because we're all guilty. We've all been found guilty. We're guilty because of the sin that's in our lives. We don't have a choice. We don't have anything to say of it. We don't have any excuse to make because the law shuts our mouth. We understand that we have transgressed God's holy law, each and every one of us. We don't have a defense at that point. It's just basically waiting for the penalty, waiting for the punishment, the judgment to be handed down. That's the way that we live our lives. But until one day, we understand that before the judgment is made, before we have to pay, Jesus comes in and says, I pay that for you. This idea of justification is by faith. We understand that we're sinners. We understand that we all have a sin problem that we can't do anything about. That God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross. As a sacrifice, as a propitiation, as an act that will appease God by the Holy Lamb of God taking our place in our penalty of sin, paying that penalty. That by faith, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe, the believe is not just a, okay, I believe and we're done. No, believe is an integrated, evolved process where it's not only believing what has been said about Jesus to be true, but to grab onto it and wholeheartedly trust to apply that to your life through trust. And so whoever would believe that way, would trust Christ, would not perish but have everlasting life, that there's a way that God has restored, provided for the restoration of this relationship that sin separated. Absolutely amazing. At the point of when that happens, that we walk into that relationship, justification, we are now found in right standing before God. Right standing before God. Absolutely amazing process. And as we understand ourselves in right standing before God, it changes everything about our lives. Changes everything about our lives. We talked about salvation in this conversation that we have. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. This idea that there's a process happening inside of our lives. And as we understand this, it begins at justification, us being in right standing before God. We are now in right standing before God because of our faith in Christ. Now, what's happening between that point in time and the time that we meet Jesus is we're becoming more and more like him. God is working in us to change us into the image of Christ. So that when we finally meet Christ, we'll know who he is because we'll be just like him. We'll know what he's like. That glorification piece is us, and it's nothing that we're doing. This is all a work of the Holy Spirit, all a work of God that's taking place in our lives. This is what it looks like in the timeline, sort of, that the timeline on the left here is this idea of justification. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. That's not something we're concerned with anymore because Christ took that upon himself. Can you say praise the Lord? I mean, come on. This is something that you can't lose sight of this. Can't lose sight of this. This is exciting stuff. Yeah. And then the end of the journey, that other hashtag over here, the hash mark on this side, is glorification. We will be saved from the presence of sin. Now, here's the thing. I wish that when we were saved from the penalty of sin, that we were also saved from the presence of sin. That would have been the program that I would have designed. Right? As soon as we received Christ, as soon as we walked into across that relationship with him, that, bam, we were translated to heaven. We didn't have to worry about sin anymore. That's not the way the program works. Right? So this process that happens in between the time that we receive Christ and the time that we meet Christ, this process is called sanctification. And we're being saved from the power of sin. This idea that sin has power in our lives, it's kept us in bondage all of our life. And when we've met Christ, we've been released from that bondage, free to love Christ, free to serve Christ. But there's an idea, there's a process that's happening here to release us from that power of sin, that as we grow and as we walk according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh, that we're growing stronger in Christ. We're looking more like Christ in the way that we're living and the fruit that's coming out of our lives. It's not the fruit of selfishness and self-centeredness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's these things that are emanating a residual of the image of Jesus Christ in our lives. So that when the world sees us, they're not really seeing us, they're seeing Christ in us. This is a process that's happening. And so today we're going to kind of dig a little deeper in this idea of sanctification. The idea of sanctification, the idea that justified, when we were justified and found in right standing before God, we are sanctified. We are sanctified. Congratulations, you sanctified folks, you. We're sanctified in Christ. We are set apart to be holy. The Bible has a lot of different examples of this, that the temple, the things in the temple, the people were set aside for God's purposes and for God's standard. And as they were set aside, they were sanctified to be used by God. That's how come we can say that we are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, because we've been sanctified. We've been set aside for God's holy purpose. But in the process of this, as we're sanctified, we're being sanctified. We're being, that God's working in us to change us and to move us more into the image of his Son, getting rid of the sin and the weight of sin that's present in our lives, so that as we live, we're sinning less and less and following him, choosing him more and more. That's the way the program's supposed to work anyway. That there's an idea here, there's a progress, a progression that's happening in our lives, that we're wanting to sin less and less and wanting to choose Christ more and more. And if that's not happening, something's wrong with the way we're living. So we got to identify that today and talk about that today. Now, here's the thing, and this is something that we can kind of feel. Take a deep breath and relax. This idea, this process of sanctification, we have to admit we're not perfect. None of us are supposed to be perfect. Thank the Lord, because I never fit in that category. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But the fact that I'm a sinner I am a sinner saved by grace. And no matter how much work the Lord does in me, which he's at work in me, no matter how much work, until the day I meet him, I'm not going to fully look like him. But I'm going to do everything in my power to put away that sin and take on the image of Christ, take on the teachings of Christ, so that in my behavior and my actions and the fruit that comes out of my lives, that the world sees him in me. And that should be our goal. As we walk in Christ and grow according to his teachings. Philippians chapter 1 is a great, great passage. And we're not, hold that, don't go there yet. Anybody know what this is? Some of you say it's an apple. That's right. It's not a trick question, people. It's an apple, okay? It wasn't some divine metaphor or something going on here. It's an apple, right. Okay, so how many of you have seen an apple before, right? Okay, yeah. One of the most popular fruits that there is around everywhere, anywhere. Okay, the apple, funny thing about the apple has a smell to it, a taste to it. Matter of fact, you know, it's been a little while since breakfast, so I'm like getting hungry up here because apples are good. I like apples, but we know that what apples taste like. How many of you know that there's different kinds of apples, right? This is the Red Delicious apple, one of the most popular apples that are sold. And most of us would become familiar with a red delicious apple, right? Because it's delicious, right? Okay, but did you know there's a golden delicious apple? Right? Golden delicious, right? There's a Granny Smith. How'd they get these names, by the way? There's a Granny Smith apple, right? There's a lady apple, right? A golden gala apple. I mean, there's different kinds of apples. And boy, I tell you, there's a color for you. There's a consistency for you. Any apple you want. But apples come in different shapes, sizes, and forms. But you know what apples are good for? This is my metaphor, so just come along with me. Okay, this is my analogy. So you know what apples are good for, and I'm deciding this. Apples are good for, in my opinion, to become apple crisp. Okay? Y'all ever had apple crisp? Anybody ever had apple crisp? Okay, let me describe the most heavenly dish on the planet. Okay, apples make up part of the dish of apple crisp, right? The main ingredient of apple crisp. But apples, this does not look like apple crisp, right? Because in apple crisp, there's other ingredients that go into apple crisp. Other ingredients like brown sugar. Praise God for brown sugar, right? And other things like butter, right? Lots of butter. And there's salt, and there's cinnamon, and all of these things that go into an apple crisp. Put a little bit of water in there. And then all of these things you mix together. Oatmeal, right? Oatmeal has to... Major product of, So they all go in and you mix them together and then you cut the apple up and put it in and then you put the mixture in. Starting to taste. And then you have apple crisp, right? Not yet. What do you need to do with it at that point? You got to put it in the oven, right? You got to heat it up. And then after a period of time, right, it takes a little time. And after a period of time, it begins to bake and it begins to kind of waft, the heavenly aroma wafts through the house, right? And then, you know, I'm glad they put ovens with those glass doors that you can peer in, right? Because I'm waiting for this thing, and then it comes out. And the ultimate duty and purpose of an apple is to become apple crisp. And there it is, right? But apples, they didn't start as apple crisp. They start somewhere else. And let's just use this as an analogy. I know it's a simple analogy, so don't get too theological on me. But simple analogy, okay, there's a big barrel of apples, and I'm taking out an apple, and I'm looking at the apple, and this is good to be used. The apple is great in and of itself. It's blessed. It's got, a healthy value to it. But it's not the purpose in which I think the apple was intended to be. Hello? And so as I get the apples, and I get the apples out of the barrel, and I put there, and I prepare this plate, and I mix the ingredients to and from, and as I mix the ingredients, you start to kind of see some things come into place. And then you put the apples in, you grind all together, and you apply the heat, and then it becomes apple crisp. Well, let's pretend that God picks us out here. He's made a way for us to be saved by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He takes us and He brings us out. And, you know, now that we've been justified, nothing wrong with that. That's great. Justified in Christ. Right? And so there's use, there's value, there's purpose that can be used here, but not quite the purpose that I'm intending for. So there's a process that has to go into play here. And so with these ingredients that we're mixing together with prayer and Bible study and the community and fellowship of God and the coming together of one another and praying for each other and come and growing and serving and all of these things mixed together along with the apple, you start to kind of see that they're having an impact on the apple. But something's missing yet. There has to be heat applied. And that heat comes in the form of crisis and circumstance and situations that we go through in life. It comes from those broken relationships and the struggles that we're trying to go through. And then God is using that heat of life to kind of bring all of this together into our lives so that at the end of the journey, as we go along, we're looking less and less like the apple that started and more like the apple crisp that's intended. As God continues to work and to change and to transform us into the image that He desires. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this. Stay right there, I'm going to get you later, Apple. Okay. Philippians chapter 1, very important verse. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus, until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, open our hearts and open our minds to receive Your word. Help us to hear Your voice and not these other voices. that want to be a distraction, that want to draw us away from the truth of your word. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, as we understand this, what is this talking about? This is sanctification. All the way, through and through. This is three types of sanctification that's talked about in this one verse. We see it. It's present. It's clear. It's right here. Can you see it? Can you see it? Number one is positional sanctification. This is a big word to say that we are already in Christ. Being confident of this very fact, of this very thing, the apostle says, as he's writing this verse to the church of Philippi, this is something that has already happened that we are confident in. We are confident in this state of mind right now, that I am confident that something has begun in you that will continue until Christ Jesus. This idea of being confident, this is the verb tense that says something is ongoing. It's an action that's happened. It's an action that keeps going on. And so I'm confident now, and then I'm confident now a second later, and a second later I'm confident now too that he that which began a good work in you is continuing to complete that. I'm confident of something that's already happened in your life. If we go back to verse 5, this is what's happened. This is what he's confident in your view, in view of your participation of the gospel. From the first day until now, Paul's writing back to a church there, to a group of people that he presented the gospel to, and they said, yes, Jesus. And they began to follow him. And as they began to follow him, there was evidence, there was fruit in their lives. There was something being produced in their lives that made it evident that they were following Jesus. Do you see that huge word right there? Your participation. Following Jesus is not a spectator sport. Following Jesus is a sport we're supposed to be on the field playing. That we're not. It's not something we can do in the stands, or it's not something we can do in the pews. The sanctification work happens in life as we participate in the gospel. We participate with the gospel. What is the gospel? I'm glad you asked. Very simple. The gospel is that you and I, it begins with bad news. You and I are sinners and need a salvation. We're sinners that have no hope because of the sin that's in our lives. We're sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. And as we sin, it separates us from God. One sin, 100 sins, we're separated from God. Are you with me? So don't feel bad. Well, no, feel bad. Feel bad. If you're comparing yourself to each other, we're all sinners. Don't compare yourself to each other. Because what God does is there's a standard that he set, and that was no sin. But because you and I have sinned, we miss the mark. We miss the standard. So we're all guilty. Remember behind the defendant table. We're all guilty. We have no choice. Have no hope. But God, because of his great love and great mercy for us, his great love, loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to pay the penalty of that sin on the cross. Now, Jesus died on the cross not for his sin. It's important you know that. It was for our sin. Jesus didn't sin. But because he didn't sin, God said that act was a propitiation, was an appeasement, an atonement. That he accepted that sacrifice for the many. For the many. And that by faith, you and I, we don't have to crawl up on the cross and be crucified. We don't have to pay the penalty of eternal separation from God. Jesus already paid that price, and by faith, we apply that price that was paid to our lives to cover our sin by faith, trusting in him, believing that what he did was what God said he did was true. And it's true for you and you and you and me. And as it's true for me that I apply it to my life through faith, trusting in him like my life depends on it, because it does. You know how that saying goes. And I hold on to him like I hold on to a parachute jumping out of a plane. I hold on to him. I'm not letting go. You can't have my parachute. Sorry. You can't have it. As we apply Jesus to our lives, that we are saved. We're saved from that sin. Our relationship with God is restored. And the wrath of God, which falls upon those who don't know him, falls away from us. We don't pay that penalty. Our reward, what we get to enjoy now is called eternal life. It's in his eternal presence. It's with Christ in heaven. for eternity. That's the gospel. And for those who participate with the gospel, once they come to an understanding and trust, what that participation means is that now I'm living every day according to that truth. That I'm living every day no longer in bondage to sin, but serving Christ. That Christ is now the head of my life. He's now the one that I serve. He's now the one that I choose every day, every way. Participation with the gospel. So when Paul writes back this, he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing, telling them, hey, I'm so glad that you're participating in the gospel. And because of that fact, being confident because of that fact, I know that he that began a good work in you is to be faithful to complete it until the end. Until the day of Christ Jesus. So this idea of positional sanctification, this is that idea of being set apart for God. It happens. It's done. It's one and done. It's done. You have now been set apart. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, as Peter said, a holy people. You've been set apart for the purposes of God. But there's some other things happening here, isn't there? There's some other things happening. Positional sanctification. What happens when we receive Christ? What happens when, that's not even a good way to say it. What happens when we walk into a relationship with Christ? When we've been justified by faith. When we're justified by faith, the Bible says that we now have a new relationship with God. And that relationship is not just God and us or God with us. It's now God in us. And as God is in us, it changes everything. It's the process of sanctification that is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. John chapter 14 says it like this, that there, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, it cannot receive because it sees him not, nor neither knows him. Check this out. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he dwells in you. He's now part of you. That's an amazing God who loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us and then sends the Spirit into our lives so that we can walk in changing us into the image of his Son. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. He that began a good work in you. Who is he? He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that came into your life the moment that you returned from sin and turned toward Jesus, that moment of conversion. Absolutely fantastic. Shall be in us. This idea of positional sanctification. You're holy. Peter says, now that you're holy, go be holy. Go be holy. What he's saying is, you've been sanctified, act like it. Act like it. Paul says it this way, Ephesians 4:1. You walk in a manner worthy of the name that you've been called. That name, Jesus Christ. That's the one you wear. His name. Not only positional sanctification, there's this idea of progressive sanctification. If you're taking notes, make sure to write down the verses in the margin and column. Here's what the verse says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. This idea of hath begun lets you know that there's a work that's begun but it's not yet completed. Amen? Do you understand that? That this work is being done in you, but it's not completed yet. And so when I look at this, I know that I don't have to be perfect because I'm not perfect. But I know that as I live my life, there's a process that's happening in me that as he changes me, he can use me to influence the world around me. And as I understand that and that work that's going on inside of me, it's not something that's in my power to do. He which began a good work. He is the one that's working. It's his work inside of me that is continuing on and continue to change me into the image of his Son. Now there is a partnership, if you will, that once he's doing that work, that I'm participating in that through the good works that I'm doing. Through the good works that are being produced in my life. But it's not because I'm good or the works I do that are good. It's because of the good work that he's doing in me to change those things that I'm doing. Are you following me? I don't want to lose you. So get back on board. Let's go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. This idea of hath begun, this is an important one. It talks about progression. Paul talked about this in the letter to the Galatians. Ooh, okay. Galatians 3:3, here's the verse. It says, are you still foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Here's what was going on with the church at Galatia, okay? He wrote these not too far apart from each other. As he's writing this to the church at Galatia, what he did is he went in and preached to the region of Galatia. There were people there that accepted the gospel, that accepted that into their lives. They were justified by faith. They began this road of sanctification. They began this process. Paul was teaching them, and there was evident in their lives. Paul moved on. And as he moved on into the next city, there came a point in time where word came to him that as he moved on, there were people that came behind him to the church at Galatia and started telling the people that there's another gospel. There's another way. Paul got mad. He got hot. And so as he wrote a letter back to the Galatians, he wasn't mincing words or playing around. I mean, I could imagine the red with the, you know, just the blood pressure through the roof on this as he's writing back. And he says, "How, if anybody preaches another gospel other than the one that you heard about the blood of Jesus Christ, that salvation is by grace alone and faith alone, if you hear of any other gospel besides that, it's a lie, and let those who tell you it be cursed." Now, that was a first century way, church language, for keeping it clean. But in the strongest words possible, Paul was denouncing this false gospel, this idea that you have to add something to Jesus Christ to be saved. No. Salvation is by grace alone and faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ. As we try to add stuff to that, then it becomes an act of works. But we know in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that's not the case. That we are saved by faith, we were saved by grace. Not of works, because if it was of works, we would boast. The resulting act of this change that happens in, by faith, because the grace is here, for we are His workmanship. We're His handiwork. We're now something that He's fashioning from an apple into apple crisp, man. He's working on us and molding us and changing us and working inside of us. We're His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. We came to life in Christ. We were dead before Christ. Now we're created in Christ. To do good works, not before. Good works has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with living out salvation. Everything to do. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's the same words, same phrase as used in Philippians 1:6, which God had prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God provided a way for us to be saved. That through faith in Christ, we are saved. We have been created in Christ, and now we're expected to do good works, which He, this is the way that the journey has been all along. This has been His plan, His program all along. And it's through these good works, it's through these acts of love and kindness that the world sees Him and us. Being confident of this very thing that He, which began that good work. Where did He begin it? He began it in us. He began it in us. What do we do? What do we do when we mess up? What do we do when we sin? What do we do when we fall? Because we're going to fall. We're sinners. We're going to fall. And so God has given us a way to get back up, to confess our sins. It cleanses us from that unrighteousness. We're supposed to forsake that sin and walk in a new way. Walk in a way that's not sinning in that way. But what happens in my life, maybe I'm different than you. What happens in my life, once that sin is done with, three more pop up that I have to work on. I guess you're different than I am. So here's the psalmist, chapter 51 of Psalms. Heartbroken, cries out to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Your presence, and do not take Your Holy Spirit from me. Here's a psalmist, a writer in the Bible. Oh, precious to the heart of God. He made mistakes. I mean mistakes. Big ones. Even in this society, they would have been big ones. And when he became aware of them and became convicted of them, he repented. He repented. No more walking in that way. So much so that serving God and pleasing God really became his life's journey. He had a hiccup in the road. He got up and he continued on in this process of sanctification, this process of making him whole. The New Testament calls this psalmist, after he prays this prayer, calls him a man after God's own heart. Absolutely amazing testimony. I want to be honest with you. I want to be known as a man after God's own heart. But I know how far away I am from him because of the sin that's present in my lives. And that's why it's so necessary for the sanctifying work of God to continue to change me, continue to transform me, continue to mold me into the image of his son. Positional sanctification. We're holy because of Christ. Progressive sanctification is the ongoing work that's happening. It's half begun and it's going to continue on until the day of Christ Jesus. That's called ultimate sanctification. Ultimate sanctification. This is the idea that there's going to come a point in time where we don't have to worry about sin. There are some people that believe that there's going to come a point in time where we can kind of grow in our relationship with Christ so much that we don't sin anymore in our humanity. That's an optimistic point of view, in my opinion. Probably because I know what a sinner I am, and I just have a hard time imagining that. But the process is right. We're supposed to sin less and less and love Christ more and more. We're supposed to sin less and less and choose Christ more and more. That those sins that so easily befell me at the beginning of my relationship with him, those things that he's continuing to work on me, that those things don't trip me up anymore. That now I'm working on other things and my choosing to sin is less and less. But the fact I'm a sinner remains. You know, when I came to know Christ, when I really started understanding and living in Christ, my mouth was a problem for me. Not just because it was cussing, using the Lord's name in vain, acting like the world, that was a problem for me. And so that was an immediate thing that the Lord started working on me and that I started working on with the Lord. And very quickly, praise God, very quickly, he delivered me from that. Now, I'm not perfect in that area. There are times where my speech gets me in trouble. There are times where my words are loose and the things that I say aren't glorifying to God, but he continuing to work on me. Philippians 2, if you turn over one page, Philippians 2 and chapter, verse 12. Paul says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed," that's a key word here, that's a key word in the sanctification process, obeying, "just as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out." This is this idea that, yeah, we have some work to do here. It's not just on God. God's working and changing us, but it's our responsibility to obey and to walk according to his spirit. And so we work out our salvation that way. We grow in our salvation. We grow in our spirit. We grow in our response to the Lord, that we're saying yes to him more than we're saying no to him. This is that day of getting stronger in our faith, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says this, "For there is God who is at work in you." He's working in you, and now you work it out. You're working together in partnership. Here's where it gets bad, is when he's pulling you one way and you continue to pull the other way. That's bad. But we're supposed to work together, work it out. God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What's the main thing that you and I can work on even today? Our speech. Verse 14. I love this. "Do all things without grumbling and disputing." Some of your versions say complaining. This is one of the major areas that we can show that God is at work in our lives by our responses and by the words that we say that come out of our mouths. Have we really allowed the Lord to inform our speech and inform our responses? Well, we better, because that's what the world sees quicker than anything else. Our verbal words, and of course those ones written on social media. Yeah. "Do all things without grumbling and or disputing," Paul says. Verse 15. Why? "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, the children of God." Children of God that are above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Does that sound like the world we live in? Last week we talked about it being adopted into his family. That this adoption, by being adopted into his family, become not slaves but heirs unto salvation. Heirs of the father. Oh, but here's what happens when we're adopted into the family. We need to start acting like our dad, our father. We need to start acting according to his word and his way in our lives. Blameless and above reproach. Different than the crooked and perverse generation that we're living in. Sanctification means we're living as lights in this dark world, among whom you appear as lights in the world. This idea of ultimate sanctification, there's going to come a day where we don't have to worry about that, that we're going to get to a point where sin is not a problem. But until then, work it out. Work it out. Three things as we close. Three things based upon this passage. Number one, we need to obey. We need to obey the word. We need to obey the word, to keep the word, to watch it in our lives, to make sure that we're in the word and studying the word and obedient to the teachings of the word. This is one of the main ways that God continues to change us. And just like you've obeyed when I'm here, obey when I'm not here, is what the apostle says. That's not what I said. That's what the apostle said. Obey the word. Number two, hold fast to the word. Hold fast to the word. This idea is the idea of perseverance. That there's going to come times when the heat is applied that you're going to want to run tail. This is too hard. This is too much. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go live like everybody else. They're living an easy life and they seem to be prosperous. Why can't I go do that? Why do I have to live according to the word? And when I obey the word, I'm against the world and things get hot, man. The pressure of the world is hot. I don't have the same friends. I don't have can't do the same thing. These are things that we have to go through. Persevere. Hold fast to the word. Hold fast to the word. And the last thing we get from that passage is work like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. That means we're in partnership with God. We understand the work that he's doing in our lives, but we're doing everything we can to walk in that same way. Oh, sanctification. Don't you love it? I thank God that there was a time when that I understood that he paid the penalty of my sin. And the ramification of that decision, of that act of his, I want to live differently and act differently and walk differently. I want to look less like me and more like his son. Father, I thank you for today and I thank you for your word. Lord, your word is amazing. Father, I thank you that we can be confident in this very fact that because of our participation in the gospel, because of our walking with you in faith and walking with you on this faith journey, that we can be confident of this very fact that you, which have begun a good work in us, that you're at work and you'll continue to do that work until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, it means that I can release the idea that I have to be perfect, and if I'm not perfect, then I'm not approved. That's not what you say here, is it? That we've already been approved. We've already been found right, in right standing. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive that good news today, each and every one of us, and apply that truth to our lives and quit trying to please you with the good works of our lives, because that's not how this program works. You've already found us in right standing. And let us not listen to the enemy or the voices of the enemy that say, unless you're perfect, you're a hypocrite and you're not acceptable or approved by God. That's a lie of the enemy. Because that means salvation would depend on me and not on you. And Lord, I know that that's not the case. Father, I pray that we would understand that in the day that we live, that you have called us out from the world, that we have to go into the world, but we're not of the world, that we are set apart, we are holy. And because of that positional sanctification, there's a process that's going on in us that's progressing us toward the image of your Son. And Father, help us to not be weary in that well-doing. Help us not to be weary in this journey. But help us to lean in. Lean into this process. Looking forward to the day when we ain't got to worry about it. When sin will be gone. And Father, we'll just be at one with you and your amazing Son. Father, if there's any in here that come into this room without understanding them as sinners in need of salvation and sinners in need of your grace, of your forgiveness, of your mercy. But Father, do today help them to understand that they can walk into a relationship with you by admitting their sin, by believing and trusting in what Jesus did on the cross for themselves, applying that to the life through faith, and then get started on this faith journey so that you can start to work in them, changing them. They don't have to come perfect. They don't have to come and forget about all those things that they're doing. I've heard that excuse so many times where if I come, I'll have to give this up, I'll have to give that up. Well, if the Lord tells you to do that, then yeah. But that should not interrupt your coming. If you know you need a Savior, come. Father, there's those in this room that need a church home to come to and be involved in, engaged in, to lock arms so that we can go into this community as lights, as your lights. Father, I pray that you continue to send them to us and we will receive them in that way. Father, continue to work in our hearts. As we sing this song, Build My Life, it's you that's building our lives, Lord. Continue to work in us. We're going to open the altar for prayer. There's people here that will pray with you, for you. Let's let the Lord will continue to work in our lives. Pastor Aaron.
Let's stand. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the work that your word does in our lives. Lord, for it's you that is transforming us. It's you that's doing the work in us, and now it's our responsibility to disobey, to listen, to follow. Father, I pray that we would do that. As we go this way into this community today, let us be the lights that you've called us to be. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you be seated for just 2 seconds? Just a second, I promise. You're like, it's lunchtime. My stomach's growling. I know. Okay. So I talked about apple crisp all morning, too. I know. That's not fair. I know. I understand it. Before, on your way out today, I want to remind you that as you go out the doors, our ushers will be standing there for the donation for the Gideons and for the Gideon ministry. Also, as you leave today, ladies, what was Friday? Do you remember Friday? Valentine's Day. We have some flowers that were donated, some roses that were donated by Garden of Eden Florists. The owner is one of our members here and wanted to be a blessing to you guys, so she donated some roses for us. So, guys, if you didn't get roses, take credit for it, right? Okay. No, I'm just saying. So that'll be a roast for anyway. Listen, something's happening on March the 1st, 2 weeks from today. I wanted to put it in context for you just for a second, if you'll put the picture up there. We are going to be having a recommendation coming from our long-range planning committee to move forward with the building program. You saw it in your bulletin there. What that means, basically, is we've already talked about and on our Vision Sunday kind of really explained and discussed what's some of the features of this new building project. We're looking at an activity center. We're looking at a family life center. Second story in the education building, a remodeling of the fellowship hall, and we'll explain all of it again as we move forward. But I wanted to give you a brief reminder of what that was. Some of you have heard about other conversations that the Long Range Planning Committee has continued to have. The Long Range Planning Committee has had conversations for the last 2 years concerning different properties and different options for the church to move forward. Some of those options, on as far as the properties, are on this map. As you can see around the different colors around where the church property is in the middle there. You see the church property in the middle down here on Palm Coast Parkway? So we've talked about and investigated and went through a process of discovery for the last several years concerning each of these properties and have come to a conclusion at this point in time that God is leading us through prayer and through fasting and through just seeking Him and these conversations that we've had, that we are to move forward in this way. We'll delineate that a little further. Some of you have heard that we did enter into contact with the church next door, Palm Coast Community Church, and the Florida Baptist Convention and the Florida Baptist Foundation. Yes, we did. And we've kind of met with them and talked about different possibilities for us to be able to move forward, understanding how we could use that property next door for our purposes and for the things that we need as a church. That door is not shut, but what we have decided is we're going to allow God to continue to work in that way so that we can continue to move forward with the direction that God has for us today. One of the main things that came out of the discussion with the church next door is the advent of a secondary egress for our property, meaning that we would be able to make a second way off of the property, out the back parking lot, into their parking lot, out into Pond Lakes Parkway. And so that would be praying about that, okay? That's something we've needed since the church got here in 2000. And so this is kind of some of the things the Lord is doing for us on February the 23rd, Sunday night, and February 27th, Wednesday night. I'll be beginning both of our times together with just a brief question and answer session if any of you have any questions. Don't feel like you have to wait until then. If you want to email me or call one of the committee members, please feel free to do so. We'll answer any questions that you may have and kind of let you know where we're at right now. But these are the things that God is doing, so I wanted to give you some context. This is a good thing. This is an amazing thing that God is doing in our midst. And I hope that you've been praying about this and praying about what part that God wants you to play in His division and the plans that He has for us as a church. Okay? So I just wanted to put that in context. Let's go ahead and stand up, and I'll pray as we are dismissed today. Father, thank You again for the work that You continue to do in our lives. It's not us, it's You. It's all for Your glory and for Your honor. And so, Lord, as You change us into the image of Your Son, please continue to use us to influence and impact the gospel in the community that we live in. Father, use us in such a way, Lord, that we look like You, we act like You, and we represent You. Father, help us to understand that the situations and circumstances, the hard times, maybe the crisis and calamity in our lives are not meant to drive us from You. They're meant to drive us to You. And this is the vehicle of change that You continue to work out in our lives. Father, until we're together again, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.